Yo, welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, it is Monday. Pirates are 8-2. All the vibes are high. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning to everybody out there, too. It's what a weekend. What a start to the season. What a weekend. Two walk-off wins to take 2 out of 3 against Baltimore. I mean, this team won 100 games last year. It's a really good team. And the Pirates just made it happen.
They've been making it happen, I feel like, all year. It's fun. It's absolutely fun. I'll put it that way. I mean, how many extra inning games they've gone into? How many come from behind? How many walk-offs? Like, already it's been 10 games. You've had everything this season so far.
Yeah, 3 extra inning games already. They're 3-0 in those games, right? Which I think they only had 3 extra inning wins all of last season. And now it's April 8th. We've already matched it. I don't know, DiNardo. Sounds like maybe a team of destiny. Team of destiny, maybe?
A team of destiny. I mean, they're playing like it. I'll put it that way. That's for sure. Yeah. I'm not trying to poo-poo on anything here. Like, how sustainable is this? I don't know. But again, you're not looking for an 80% win season.
Right. No one's going to win 80% of their games.
Right. But, like, this is fun. And again, like, to take away the sustainability part of it, like, they're finding ways to win. And it's still, you know, remember last week? I forget. Maybe it's last week or the week before in NSN Live, how I brought up, it's like, does this inspire you of how sloppy they are, but they're still finding ways to win? And, like, I'm still there. Like, it's just weird because, like, look at yesterday's game. Perfect example. I mean, the Pirates just gave away runs just by their lack of defense. But so did Detroit. Geez, I'm already in preview mode. So did Baltimore. But it was like, you know, but Baltimore made some really, really good plays defensively. They still looked better, but they gave some things away. And it was Baltimore that ended up losing it because of defense. And the Pirates won in spite of their poor defense. And, again, terrible base running. So it's like with – also, like, an error in the outfield. Like everything, like, every aspect, every small aspect of the game that's just, you know, fundamentally sound, the Pirates don't seem to be able to do this year. And yet they're still winning. So it's like, is this team, like, able to actually put together a solid entire game and be a better team still?
It is kind of crazy. Like, you look at yesterday in particular, they really weren't getting anybody on base. They didn't get a single hit with a runner in scoring position. They made 2 errors. So, like, how often are you going to win a game when you don't hit when runners are in scoring position and you make 2 errors in the field? Like, not often, right? But,
right.
Yeah, they made mistakes. Baltimore made mistakes. Baltimore made some hell of a some crazy plays, too. Defensively, but in the end, yeah, like, the Orioles' lack of ability to make plays is what ended up being the difference here. The one run that Kramer gave up was unearned, in the ninth inning there, was it the ninth they walked it off on? Yeah, so in the ninth inning there, that throw by Henderson, he makes an insane play. It was kind of like a microcosm of everything, right? He makes this insane play on a ball up the middle, gets the out at second, but then throws the ball away. And the Pirates end up scoring 2 runs on it, and that ends up being the difference in the game. So, yeah, defense both ways. It was just an interesting game. It was a wild game. Like, it is crazy, like you mentioned before. They're playing so sloppy right now. Like, there are so many little things that this team isn't doing correctly. But also, other teams are doing some little things incorrectly, too. But, yeah, the fact that we're sitting 8-2, and we're making these mistakes in the field. We're making these mistakes on the base paths. We're not coming up with hits with runners on base. It's kind of crazy. Like, I... That's just the word to use. It's crazy that we're 8-2. Shout out to the pitching. Really, the starting pitching has been great, especially this stretch. Four straight quality starts.
Yeah. Talk about the starting pitching a little bit here as well. You know, the Miami series was a mixed bag. I mean, Mitch Keller didn't pitch all that well. Mitch Keller didn't pitch well again his second turn. But it's ironically funny, I guess. Well, I mean, also Bailey Falter looked awful his first time around. But like outside of that, everyone looked good. Even Bailey Falter this last time. You know, I mean, this is okay.
Falter looked more than good. Bailey Falter was like, Bailey Falter should have pitched a no hitter. Jack Suwinski was like, he ruined it.
I know. And that's what I want to allude to here a little bit. So I was kind of vocal the last time you heard me on a show, and it's not live, talking about Joey Bart and how, again, this was my understanding at the time that Jason DeLay was still going to be a catcher. Now, obviously, he's on the IL, so it's different, and that's why I was going that route. But again, like my whole premise of Joey Bart is this makes me nervous because of the bat, obviously. But the biggest thing was, like, this is a brand new catcher. Like, Henry Davis is a rookie working these guys. Now you're bringing in, like, there's no veteran catcher. There's no one who's worked with these pitchers. Joey Bart's brand new off the street. And he just off the street comes in and helps Bailey Falter pitch almost a no-hitter. And this is where I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm wrong. I ate a lot of crow that day. But yeah, like the ironic part of that is not only did Bailey Falter look good, it was Joey Bart who was catching.
Yeah, Joey Bart catches 11 innings in his debut with the Pirates. Pitchers only give up 4 hits.
Wait, say that again.
11 innings is what Bart caught. And the Pirates pitching only gave up 4 hits on Saturday.
Oh, in total. Okay. Right.
So Joey Bart's lack of knowledge of the Pirates pitching staff didn't affect too much.
No, it has not. You could say it's been better. That's an argument he made. But yeah, so again, like the starting pitching has looked good. Like, I'm going to say good. Martin Perez has looked good. Gonzalez, like Marco Gonzalez, pitched very well again yesterday. And like, I know he had 2 runs in those 6 innings, but at the same time, I mean, they were earned, but the defense didn't help him out either. Like, looked solid.
Marco Gonzalez, it's just another reminder, and I think Jason Mackey tweeted this out yesterday too, but it's just another reminder that, like, when it comes to the vets, to the veterans, spring training, like, don't, like, there's no reason to even pay attention. Like, yeah. It means literally nothing, right? We kind of fell into this trap with Quintana a couple of years ago, and then this spring, like, Marco Gonzalez looked awful this spring. And what's he done? He's come out there, gave you 5 innings, 1 run, 6 innings, 2 runs, back-to-back, really good starts, great start to the season. So, yeah, it's we all like to, like, read into things in spring training because it's the first time we get to see baseball, really, in a lot of months. But, yeah, Marco Gonzalez is just further proof that if you've been around for a while, like, there's
– right.
No stop.
Going back to Quintana.
in these spring training numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's the thing, like, you know, when they got Gonzalez, I mean, we liked it. Our biggest thing was, you know, like the health, you know, the injury aspect of it. He's been a good pitcher for pretty much most of his career. But like, is he going to stay healthy? How is that arm holding up and stuff? And then we saw during the offseason, you know, he was at tread, he was throwing, that left me pretty encouraged. You know, we talked about that. And so far, again, like, health doesn't seem to be an issue. He's throwing, he's not going to be a burner, but he's throwing like 91, 92. So like, so far, so good from him. Like, this rotation, again, the Jared Jones, just the way he's stepping up right now, what he's looking like, that to me is like the X factor. And again, it's always going to be health. It's always going to be health. And the way pitchers are going down today, it just seems like, man, when's it going to happen for someone in the Pirates? But, you know, health aside, the way this rotation set up and the way Jared Jones is pitching, that makes you feel a lot more comfortable with these five guys.
Yeah, it's they're performing right now. They have not been the reason really for any Pirates loss. If anything, Keller is like the one guy who's been kind of shaky. Falter had a really bad outing his first time, but the Pirates ended up winning that game. So
yeah,
it's right. So far, like no complaints with the starting rotation. They have been better than expected. And you know, the bullpen again was a little shaky. Actually, bullpen was great again on Sunday. I had Jared Jones start up, but bullpen again, Contreras and Hernandez, three scoreless innings yesterday to keep the Pirates within striking distance. So, you know, another really, really good outing by the bullpen. Hernandez back up. He's been impressive. Like they've bounced him around. They sent him down in spring training. He gets called up when Contreras Rosie goes on paternity. He gets that big extra inning save on opening day. Send him back down. They put him in today, and he gets the win. So Jose Hernandez 1-0 with a save already, and the dude's been sent to the minors. He's been demoted twice already.
That's a good point. Like, but to him, like, this is a guy you saw last year and you really wanted him to keep on the roster because, you know, being Rule 5, you have to, and you saw something in him. You know, there was definitely flashes all last year. And, it's just two times, right? Two appearances he made so far. But those two appearances is reminding you of every reason why you wanted them to keep this kid around, because, you know, out of that depth, is there's some electric stuff there. And yeah, he came right in, made the last out, strikeout. Finished that next inning, like he looks good. And like, this is something too, is like the bullpen has looked good. They've been doing it without Horman, they've been doing it without Majinski, they've been doing it with a shaky Bednar, I'll put it that way. Like you're kind of really seeing the depth of this bullpen so far, and that leaves you feeling pretty good. You know, we talked about the bullpen being the strength, and you know, we weren't sure how deep it was going to be necessarily. Obviously, when Reddit, you know, going down, that hurt the depth of the bullpen. But I don't know, Jim. Like, you're talking about this team of destiny, and I'm just saying, like, this bullpen looks really good.
Bullpen looks good, and I mean, Holderman and Majinski are both on rehab assignments. So Majinski is in Bradenton. He pitched a little bit over the weekend. Holderman has already pitched a couple outings. So hopefully both of those two guys are ready soon. And that's just gonna bolster it even more.
Right. I'm excited. All right. Well, we talked about the Pirates. You know, they beat up the Marlins, they beat up on the Nationals, kind of see what they are, but they just took 2 out of 3 against Baltimore, and they found, again, we talked about ways to win. So anything else that you really want to talk about with this 8-2 Pirates team before we get into our next segments?
Yeah, the only thing I'll add is, you know, we're kind of poo-pooing all over this division, right? The NL Central, and everybody was. It's currently the only division in the National League with more than one team over 500. And the entire NL Central is playing 500 baseball or better. So, you know, the Pirates are off to this 8-2 start, which is great. But somehow they're still only 3 games out of last place. Like this NL Central, it's been a hot start for everybody. Milwaukee 6-2, Cubs are 6-3, Reds are 5-4, and then the Cardinals are 5-5. So, yeah, it's been a pretty it's been a really good start for really all the NL Central teams. I don't think we play an NL Central team for a while. I was looking at our April schedule, and I want to say we play Milwaukee
the 20th
later this month. 21st. But like, wait, that's the first divisional opponent. And that's the only divisional opponent we play until May 10th. So it's kind of wild that, you know, the way they change these schedules up where you play everybody, we only have one divisional series before May 10th. Kind of insane.
Which means just one divisional series before Paul Skeens, right?
That's true. Right? Yeah.
Right, Jim? yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And I guess I just want to remind people, can you remind us, Jim, which is the only team that has lost to the Marlins so far?
That would be the St. Louis Cardinals are the only team to have lost to the Marlins. Yeah.
I just figured that would be it's very relevant information to put on the show right now. So I just wanted to make sure everyone heard that.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right. Well,
real quick. The show Starbucks, we're sponsored by Chris Gates Fitness as always. Chris is a huge Pittsburgh sports fan. He's a friend of the show. He works with me. He's been helping me kind of stay in check lately. I've been so busy. So just his weekly check-ins is kind of keeping me sane right now. But he works with people all over Pittsburgh, all over the world to build muscle, burn fat, improve their health and fitness. Goal with every person he works with is just to make progress while learning how to sustainably manage your diet and exercise routine for life. So if you're looking to get in shape this spring or get ready for a summer vacation, whatever it may be, or even just, you know, want to start implementing some healthier habits, make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel. We'll put a link here in the description, but just search for Chris Gates Fitness on YouTube or visit youtube.com/Chris Gates Fitness and you'll find him. He posts new videos every week. He's got hundreds of videos about diet and exercise that you can watch to level up your routine. He has videos coming out soon on the best fat loss fast food. So if you eat out a lot, he's gonna give you some videos as far as like what's the best things to eat while eating out. He's gonna give you some videos on how to build a home gym, some new exercise tutorials, things like that. So while you're there, sign up for his free calorie calculator so you can start making progress today. But yeah, go to youtube.com/Chris Gates Fitness. He's got a lot of really good stuff there.
Awesome stuff. So he keeps tabs on you, on your progress, right? And we're going to bring on Anthony Murphy for Starbucks on Deck so we can keep tabs on the progress of the Pirates Farm System. How about that?
Look at that segue.
Look at that. Look at that. But I'm excited because this is a big weekend for some Pirates prospects. So again, as you're probably aware, if not, every week this year on Starbucks, we're bringing on Anthony Murphy from Bucks on Deck to kind of talk about some Pirates prospects, what's going around there. So let's go ahead and do that. Well, Anthony, welcome to the show again. Week two of Starbucks on Deck. A little more to talk about this week, I guess, obviously, with all the affiliates playing baseball now. I mean, obviously, we want to talk about Paul Skenes again, but there's also more. We should spread the wealth. What do you think stood out this week for yourself?
I think probably the thing that stood out the most, I mean, obviously, we got our first chance to see like Bubba Chandler and Anthony Solometto and all that stuff. They looked solid. You could tell it was kind of like first game, still kind of ironing some stuff out and all that, but I think this weekend was a pretty good weekend overall for pitching. You know, some of the other guys, you know, Hunter Barco pitched. He looked pretty solid. Michael Kennedy struggled a little bit with the control down in Bradenton, but like the slider and the changeup and stuff like that actually looked, I came away pretty impressed for someone who's just 19 years old. So you know, that's the big thing with the Pirates system, the pitching, and I think we got a pretty good glimpse of that. So far, and it's still not even, they're not even at 100% with it either, because, you know, Shim's on the IL, Harrington's on the IL. So it only kind of gets better from this point forward.
Yeah, I mean, before we dive into, I mean, Skenes is who we really want to dive into, but a couple pitchers there, right, for that haven't had a whole lot of time in the system yet, or if they did, it was, you know, in the complex league. So I want to talk about Barco. I want to talk about Kennedy, those two. Hunter Barco, obviously, his getting really his first real work. What really stood out to him? I think he was really impressive to me in particular during the spring breakout game. That was really the first time I got to watch him since college. And like, he looked really good. So I guess dive in a little bit on Barco's start. What all did you see from him?
So it didn't start off the best. He walked like back-to-back hitters in the first inning. And what is it? The catcher came out to the mound. They had a little conversation. And then after that, he was throwing darts. The changeup, I know you talked about the changeup a little bit on the breakout, looked really good. He was even hitting the slider for some strikes and stuff like that. There's no, with the Greensboro broadcast, there's no radar gun or anything like that. So we couldn't really tell how hard he was throwing and stuff like that. But I thought the fastball to me, from what I saw with him in Bradenton last year, it was clearly like his third best pitch. Like it was, you know, the changeup and the slider. And then like the fastball is pretty below the other two, but it looked a lot crisper and he was hitting it for strikes. There's some good movement. He was getting some misses up in the zone with it. I think it was only like three innings that he pitched, but it was a very, and when you factor in also it's Greensboro as well. I thought it was a probably as good as a first outing that you can probably have for someone who's, this is going to be his first full season kind of getting back on the mound.
Yeah, three innings, no hits, two walks, mm-hmm. six strikeouts. So, yeah, I'd say pretty successful debut there in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. And then heading down to Bradenton, another lefty, fourth round pick from 2022, high school arm, Michael Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Not as much success as Barco, but mm-hmm. really his first start in Bradenton. He made a couple mm-hmm. of relief outings last year, but yeah, what stuck out to you with Michael Kennedy there?
I think mainly with him, it was the secondary pitchers really stood out, really surprised me for someone. Like I saw little bits of him. I saw one of the outings that he had in Bradenton at the end of last year. And you kind of see some of it there, but like, in the longer out that he had there, he used the changeup a little more, got some misses with it. I really like for someone who's he'll be 19 the entire year. So very young, and for him to have that kind of command and that kind of presence when it comes to those kind of secondary pitches, I thought was really impressive. The big question for him is going to be the fastball. Cause I think it was like 88 to 91 most of the day. Didn't really locate it well. Got hit. Didn't throw many strikes with it, so that'll be the main thing with him to kind of watch over the season and over, I guess, his career to see if maybe he can add a couple miles to it.
Cool,
nice.
All right. So, what about the big boy, AAA, big boy. Paul Skeens?
Well, do you want to still kind of lead up to it? Because I want to talk a little bit.
Okay, we can. Well, let's end
have all the pitchers. Friday was a huge day too. Bubba Chandler was there.
I will throw another guy out here too. On here, we got to see him during the spring breakout too. Patrick Riley struck out 8 in 3 1/3 innings, and his big thing was like he had a 14% walk rate at Vanderbilt, which so that was the big question. He only walked one, threw a lot of strikes. It was the fastball, like I said, with Greensboro. I have no clue how hard he was throwing. But like he was blowing, his whiff rate was right at like 60%. Like he was throwing it, they weren't hitting it. He gave up like an extra run or two at the end because he got pulled from the game, and Luis Peralta, the guy who came in behind him, threw like two wild pitches and then walked a bunch of people. So that ended up bringing in a couple runs. But like I wasn't sure how they were going to use him exactly. Kind of seemed like he was a candidate to try him as a starter. He was probably a reliever, like long term. But obviously, Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler, they're your top guys and stuff like that. But I think you could probably make a case that he had one of the better outings this weekend out of the entire group. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we'll end with Skeens then. So again, pitching wise, Chandler, Solometto, they both pitched. We mentioned them a little bit, but let's look on the offense. Offensively, who stood out to you?
So late last night, I was kind of like bouncing back between Saturday night, I was bouncing back between all of the games that wasn't like AAA, because AAA had a doubleheader that day, and it was very slim pickings with the offense for. I think they got through all three of the games were like almost 2/3 of the way through, and they had like a combined 6 hits between the three of them. But by the time it all said and done, Lonnie White Jr. hit a 3-run home run. Hudson Head hit a walk-off home run. Stuff started to come. And then like Bradenton too, they kind of got the short end of the stick this weekend because they faced that, a couple pitchers that were on like rehab assignments. They faced like a college pitcher who way advanced for the level there. And so they got picked on a little bit this weekend. So the numbers aren't going to look good for Bradenton this first weekend. I thought a couple of them, Charlene Polanco and like Javi Rivas, they battled pretty hard given the circumstances with it. So I came away a little impressed with them and encouraged for them going forward. But Jack Brannigan, his big thing was the strikeouts last year. He didn't strike out at all. He walked four times, hit a home run, stolen base. So looked pretty good there. I mean, there probably isn't a reason he should be in Greensboro right now. So
right.
Take it with that. But he's there. He's making the best of it. And he's showing the improvements that you kind of want to see from him right there. And
yeah, if he's going to be there, might as well mash, right? So exactly. It's good to see what he did the first weekend there. You mentioned Lonnie White Jr., 3-run homer yesterday, and then also 3-run homer today too, right?
Yep. Both to right center field. Showed it, the kid has so much raw power in that bat. And like, sure, it's Greensboro, so maybe some, but like where he put both of those home runs, that's all him. That wasn't the stadium. That was all him.
Nice.
So
that's good.
Still struck out a little bit. Yeah. Strikeouts is the thing with him.
I was looking at these numbers: 12 at bats, 2 3-run homers, and 7 strikeouts.
So. Yep. He struggled a little bit on there. He struggles with the breaking pitches, which I mean, for someone who's missed as much time as him and stuff like that, yeah, that's going to be a thing. Do you want to see it less than what that is? Obviously, but. For someone who's missed as much time as him, I guess that's going to happen. We'll just see how quickly he can make that kind of adjustment, especially at this kind of level.
Yeah, still a big season for him.
Yeah. Anything else offensively stand out this weekend? I know Tamar didn't have like the greatest of weekends, starting off slow.
Tamar, like I think it was nice seeing him hit the home runs in spring training, but also at the same time, like. The way his whole approach the entire spring was exactly what I saw last year. And it's exactly what I didn't want to see him doing into this year. Like he sells out so much for power. Like he's probably going to be the guy. He could probably hit 25 to 30 home runs at some point in the majors, but he's only going to bat 220. So stuff like that. And it's a shame too, because like you see the potential there to be more of a well-rounded hitter. And he did have a hit on, it was like on a full count. It was a breaking ball that was going away from him against a lefty, and he kind of slapped it the other way for a hit. And it's like, that's what you want to see more of. Like there are times last year where even in that situation, he's trying to send it straight down right field for a home run. Just take what they give you, work the count. Like he doesn't chase. Like his chase rates are elite. Like right now you plug him in the majors, he's probably one of the best when it comes to chase rates in all of baseball. It's selling out for the stuff that's inside the zone that he's really struggling with. And it's just the power's there. Let it come. He just needs to let it come more naturally. I feel like, and then we'll start seeing kind of the turnaround for him.
Fair. Okay, Jim, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
We ready for Paul Skeens, baby?
Paul Skeens. I mean, that Paul Skeens is for Paul Skeens. that stuff is just like, man, like it's he's there. Like I don't like the small sample size things, but like the guy is there because they're trying to monitor innings and because this is new to him. That's it. If you wanted to, and if arm things aren't an issue, or like this is a video game or whatever you want, you can plug him right into the major league rotation and he can get people out. You can, you know, like he'll have some struggles and stuff with it, but like it's not a development thing why he's down there. It's they want to make sure that the guy they invested so much in is going to get through the entire season healthy. And that means monitoring what he does there, limiting how much he's throwing, and then letting him loose whenever they decide he's ready to be let loose. But
yeah, I mean, second straight 3-inning outing. He was perfect through 3 the first time out. This time he does give up a hit and a walk. So, you know, not perfect, but he strikes out six. And it was it was a much more difficult Memphis lineup than what he faced the first time around in Louisville, too. Which so the fact that like he still mowed through him, like he looked really impressive against him.
Yeah, it's I mean, everything, the fastball, he even started, like, I feel like in the Louisville game, he was, you know, attacking more up in the zone and stuff like that. He was starting to move the fastball a little bit more around, you know, bottom of the zone. He was working the splinker or whatever you want to call it. I love that he can use that to both righties and lefties on both sides of the plates. And that pitch just works so well off of the slider that I remember one of the hitters against Louisville, like, he didn't even need the fastball. He just threw – just bounced back and forth between the slider and the splinker, and the guy had no shot because they tunnel so well off of each other that,
yeah. So last week when you were on here, you said, I think he's going to try to, they're going to try to do that, like, two starts in 1 week twice. Now we're a week later.
I don't think you can make it that, because, like, what is it? He pitched Friday now, so he should pitch like Thursday this week coming up. Yeah. So you kind of slap. So, like, that's still like 2-3 weeks away till he does his. At this point, like, I'm almost willing to, like, he keeps going like this. Like, the first time he does it after at that Sunday, send him. Don't know what he did, but, like, as far as what I've seen, like, there's literally nothing else that I really have to see that he needs to work on at the minor league level. I don't think there ever was, outside of just getting the routine down. So,
well, certainly looks. I'll say
the more I see him, the more I'm just like, you know what? I'm cool with this for a little bit, but, like, just a little bit, guys. Like, like, once he's shown he can go 5 innings on 5 days rest, like, that's it. That's the last thing that needs checked. Once he does that, we don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, back to the point, as far as lineups, I'm going to watch it, like, first inning, 1-2-3, all strikeouts, and the third one being Lars Nootbaar. And again, like, he's not a slouch either for the major leagues. I mean, he had a 118 weighted run created plus last year. I mean, he's like a 3-WAR player basically in the majors. Yeah. And Paul Skenes made him look silly.
Yeah.
And yes, like, I am just infatuated with Paul Skenes this year. I can't wait. And it's kind of interesting what Charrington said today. So it seems like he pretty much said, like, through April, he kind of left everything open ended. I don't know. You're hearing a lot of people talk about May 3rd. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, we're in uncharted territory here with it, because, like, Jerry Jones started with the major league team. So, like, I mean, we can say that this isn't what the Pirates do, but also, if we're going by what the Pirates usually do, we wouldn't have Jerry Jones in the major league rotation right now. So, not saying it's going to happen, but maybe we have to kind of change how we think about things going on now.
Love it.
Yep. All right. Well, anything else we want to add here, Murphy?
No. I mean, solid week. Looking forward to this week. Will be the first week we get a full slate of games all week for all the affiliates. So, and we're a couple of weeks from the Complex League starting as well. So,
when does that start? When does Complex League start?
It's like May, like the first weekend in May or something like that.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, Murphy, I know you're recovering from surgery, so we appreciate you hopping on here. Best wishes to your recovery. Thanks for hopping on. You can find Murphy on Twitter at __Murphy88, right? And then also Bucks on Deck. The Substack. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe. It's going to be your best daily Pirates writing that you'll see out there. So,
I appreciate that.
For sure. Appreciate you coming on, as always. We'll see you next week.
Of course. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. See you, Murphy. Thanks.
All right, peace.
Bye.
All right, Jim.
There we go. We're back.
Again, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's about to come.
I mean, how can you not be, right? I think
you don't have a pulse.
Right. After seeing Paul Skeens' his first two starts and what he's done, it's like we could use that. Like that's useful right there. He was incredible, incredible again this past weekend. So I gotta imagine, like Murphy said there, I think that's probably what makes sense. This coming week, he's going to pitch on Thursday. The week after, he pitches on Wednesday. And then the week after that would be his first, like, Tuesday, Sunday, right? Call him up right after that, right after he shows you that he can do that. Like, that, there's no other boxes to check. There's nothing else for him to prove that he can do other than that. So once he shows he can do it, get him up here.
Let's go.
Yep. So, I mean, that's what, 3 weeks? 3 more weeks in the minors, 4 more starts. That's my prediction. 4 starts, 3 weeks, and then he's up here.
Well, and again, like alluded to there, it doesn't seem like you're the only one in that house to make that prediction. So there's a lot of national people that are kind of alluding to that. And that's why I said, like, Ben Cherington, you know, he talked mainly to April, like, here's what we're going to do for April. He didn't say, like, May. Like, he just kind of, like, left it open. It's like, you know, he's focused on April, wasn't saving into May. I don't know. Again, just kind of reading between things. Maybe this is more legit than we might think. Not so. So I don't know. But either way, Paul Skeens may be coming. That's awesome. But again, like, all the pitching in the minors is something to be excited about. You know, after even Paul Skeens, what's still coming eventually. You know, you're looking at 2025, 2026. A lot of bright spots, especially pitching wise.
Absolutely.
So let's get into this upcoming series preview. It's just a 2-game series, but the Pirates are facing the Tigers. They're going into Detroit to do so. This is kind of interesting. Now, what I'll say is, thankfully for the Pirates, they're missing on their better pitching. So Tarik Skubal looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to face him. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you want this team to continue rolling and winning, they're not facing him. So really, really good. But this is like an up and coming team that didn't up and come. So they kind of fired everyone and said, let's start this over again. So like, there's a lot of like prospects, failed prospects on this team. There's also an old friend, Javi Baez, who's really, really bad. but yeah, like, what do you make of this series? I mean, they're 6-3 right now too. They're winning.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of I think there's a lot of similarities here between the way this Tigers team is constructed and the way the Pirates are, right? You've got your young pitcher that you're kind of leaning on, right? And then for the Tigers, it's Skubal. For the Pirates, it's Keller, right? And they're not necessarily young, but you know, they've been around for a bit, 3 years, but like they've arrived in the majors, right? And then you've got some young guys, right? You could say Casey Mize. I mean, he was a first overall pick, former first overall pick. He hasn't really put it together because of injuries, but the Pirates will face him. And then they also face 24-year-old Reese Olson, who had a pretty good start to his career last season, had a good first outing this year. So they'll face Reese Olson today. I haven't seen a whole lot of them, but I mean, last year in 18 starts, 3.99 ERA. His first start this season, he went 5 2/3 scoreless. Not really much of a strikeout guy, it seems. But yeah, I mean, he's had a pretty successful start to his major league career. So the Pirates, they will send out Keller and Perez. Keller's been a little rough going his first couple outings, but Perez has looked excellent. Yeah, it should be a pretty... It should be a pretty even series, I think. Offensively, Tigers have some young guys that are pretty exciting, like former first overall pick Spencer Torkelson is there. Riley Green, former fifth overall pick. Colt Keith, another guy who made the team this year out of spring training, one of their top prospects. He's a top 50 prospect in baseball. So yeah, some young guys on this Tigers team who they're going to rely on to do something this year. Bullpen wise, pretty strong bullpen too for the Tigers.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of parallels, I think, between these two teams. I think the Tigers went out there and maybe added a few more. You know, they added Maeda, they added Flaherty. I think those are two guys that the Pirates probably would have liked to have added that the Tigers scooped up instead. But yeah, it's a pretty similar constructed squad, so should be good baseball. The Tigers are technically our interleague rivals, right? So we've got that. We've got that just vaunted Pittsburgh Detroit baseball rivalry going on here. Two game series. If you can take two here, hell, that puts you at 10-2. I think you'd be happy taking one, you know, in this short two game series. But yeah, right. So far, they could take both. They could take both games for sure. I'm curious to see this team. It's lot of similarities.
Yeah, I think that's a good, fair assessment as far as like similarities, you know. But again, like we're missing out on their top pitching, so that bodes better for the Pirates. But albeit like Mitch Keller, you look at as like the ace on this team, he's had his struggles. Martin Perez has looked good, but two veteran guys going in there. The offense has been decent for them, but like also like Spencer Torkelson was top prospect, right? He's struggled. You know, he's been like kind of up and down his career. He had a better season last year, but this year is off to a really, really poor start. Maybe that carries on over. Again, we talk about Javi Baez. He's been really, really bad. Just really, really bad. So, you know, there's enough holes in this lineup. Like, I feel like the Pirates are maybe a little more complete, if that makes sense. This one's a little bit of holes. You know, again, they're facing like the lower end of their pitching. Although, again, Casey Mize, we don't know what he is. Injuries has been really derailed his career. Like, mm-hmm. He was a 1-1 overall. The talent's certainly there. And then I guess like with the bullpen, yeah, it's been strong. But what I'll say is with the bullpen, it goes, they do walk guys. And you mentioned it like in Sunday what they didn't do, right? But something they have done mostly for this season, they get back to it, is that they can capitalize on guys on running like scoring position, right? I mean, this team, the Pirates, are about average team right now with guys in scoring position. If they can capitalize on doing that, right? If they're able to draw walks with, again, like that's the thing the Pirates can do. They can absolutely draw walks. We've seen the way this team approaches the plate. They can draw walks. So like if they can capitalize on some mistakes, right? Get some guys to run a scoring position and actually score them this time. I think that will definitely bode well for the Pirates.
Yeah, I think you can tell that's kind of the Pirates' recipe right now. Like what they're trying to do with the plate. They're trying to make you throw a lot of pitches. They're trying to clog up the base paths. They're trying to put pressure on these pitchers. And so far it's working, right? I mean, they're 8-2. Yeah. So you can't say that this isn't working. They flashed a stat on the broadcast either yesterday or the day before. The Pirates lead the majors in opposing pitches seen, right? So it was like 108.
Margin, by the way.
It was a huge, it was like 180 pitches they're making the opposing staff throw on average throughout the course of the game. So like when you do that, you get into teams' bullpens, and teams' bullpens aren't good typically. Like they have maybe a few people there on that back end, but most teams' middle relief, not that great. So if you can get to them and you can get to them as early as possible, that's going to help your offense substantially. And then also when you're playing like a 3 or 4 game series, being able to do something like that on game one of a series, that puts you in an advantage going forward for those next few games. Like if you can make a team expend bullpen capital early on in a series, that it's only going to help you down the road. So yeah, it's been a really good recipe for success so far. I mean, the Pirates have been scoring runs. Not like they're winning every game 3-2. Like they won yesterday 3-2, but like for the most part, this offense has been scoring and getting into teams' bullpens, forcing starting pitchers to throw a lot of pitches. It's been part of the recipe.
For sure. For sure. And again, like with Mize and Olsen, you know, they're the guys that put people on base too. So again, like if this team, the Pirates can capitalize on that, definitely some success I can see. So I'll take a split. Just like you said, a split is absolutely fine. This team comes out of this going 9-3. I mean, come on, 9-3. So if they can
take you take that. You take that every day.
Both. A 10-2 Pirates team. Holy hell. So we'll find out. But like you said, this is kind of an interesting 2-game series. And yeah, it's just like it is funny. The parallels between the Tigers and the Pirates is just kind of crazy. It's our it's our rival, like you say. Yeah. But all right.
So are you making a prediction? Even down to like the Tigers and Pirates, the two top pitching prospects in baseball, Pirates and Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
Both guys who are just incredible stuff. And it's like, when are these guys going to get up to the majors? Like, yeah, there's a lot of similarities here.
Right. Just hopefully not the similarity of the Pirates saying, you know what, this rebuild didn't work. We got to start fresh. Hoping there's no similarity there. But outside of that, for sure. But yeah, so you're going to make a prediction?
I'm going to predict that we split.
Okay.
We're going to win today because I'm on post game duties. And then we'll.
Ooh, you're undefeated, maybe, aren't you?
No, I'm one loss.
Oh, okay. But so I'm still undefeated.
We're going to win today. So I can get, we're going to get out some sandwiches tonight. I'm feeling
love it. Okay, cool. Well, I'll go with a split too, and they lose today. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Anything else you want to add?
I think that'll do it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of here. Appreciate everyone for watching. As always, go ahead if you haven't. If you want to subscribe, like, do so. Also, if you want to join, there's the button down below as well. You can join. We have 3 tiers of membership: 99 cents, $2.99, $4.99. A lot of really, really cool perks. And with that being said, actually tomorrow we're announcing our giveaway. So all MVP members are included in that. So something to think about. But again, as always, appreciate everybody. Let's get out of here. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can. And we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.